His love to this city for sending a young man like Brother Sister Smith, young man and young lady like Brother Sister Smith and their family. Amen. I want to tell you something. God loves Winnemac to send a family like he did to be your pastor. And I mean that with all my heart. I love this couple, this family. If I had a I've told people before, if I had a fan club, Brother Christian Smith would probably be the president. I've picked on this young man from the time he was just knee-high to a tall Indian, and I've had a lot of fun with him, but he is so precious. I love Brother Smith. Amen, Brother Christian, Sister Smith, their family, Chris Anna and all them. They're just precious. And they're his mom and dad, some of the closest friends I've got. And we love Walkerton and that family. I'm going to get right on into the Word of God, though. I don't know. I forgot to ask Brother Smith what time y'all leave and go home. I know he'd tell me I can have all the time I want, but y'all leave and go home at a certain time probably. So I'm if you've got your Bibles today, now I know this is in Revelations. I want to read one verse of Scripture in Revelation 21st chapter. I want to read the 27th verse. Brother Smith, you kind of put me on a spot. You sang a song a while ago that I didn't know, the Holy, however it was. And so I was trying to figure out what they said. So if y'all seen my mouth a-moving, it's because I didn't know the words. There's on the wall behind me, but every time I look back, I think of Lot's wife. So I was afraid to just keep looking back, you know what I'm saying. And so, hallelujah. Revelations 21, verse number 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. I want you to read this part with me. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. For a few minutes of time, if I could title a message very simply, I would title it, "Why You're Writing." What you're writing? Brother Smith, would you pray? What you're writing says that only what's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the names that are there, is what's important. And Brother Smith is going to be reading to you in Luke 16th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. Very familiar story. I leaned over this morning and I told Pastor Walkerton, Pastor Smith, I said, because I have been working on three messages ever since Friday, because of preaching three times today. And so last night in the prayer room at Walkerton, I was trying to figure out which message God had for which place. And I felt very strongly that what I'm getting ready to preach was for Winnemac. But a young man this morning stood up and began to sing a song about Lazarus. I leaned over to the pastor and I said, "Did you ever feel like you wasn't sure that you was in the right spot at the right time?" Because I felt very strongly that I was supposed to be bringing this message here, and I still feel it, and I still feel it was from God. And so with that in mind, amen, have you got a microphone? Yes, you do. Now, I don't know. How many, just for my own benefit or my own questioning, how many is actually from here in Winnemac that goes, "All right, this is awesome. All right, well, I'm just excited, and I'm just thrilled, and I'm planning on seeing a big church growth right here. Are you ready, brother?
I'm ready.
You're ready for sure?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. He wanted to make Christian read, but he decided no. Read, brother.
There was a certain rich man.
There was a certain rich man.
Which was clothed in purple and
fine
linen.
Which was clothed in what?
Purple and fine linen.
Wait a minute. Let me preach a minute. Which was clothed in purple. Now, can I tell you something about purple? I looked this up. All right? Purple. If you could wear purple in that day, baby, you was rich. All right? And so purple is made, and that day was made from a dye. Now, I'm reading this because it came from the Holman Bible Dictionary. Was made from a dye that came from the Murex shellfish from the eastern Mediterranean. It took 12,000 shells to make 1.5 grams of dye, and it took 1,816,000 grams of dye to make one garment. And they could only be gathered by deep sea divers in that day. The shells were. So if you could wear purple in that day, honey, you was rich. And the Bible said that there was a certain rich man that was dressed in purple. And what?
Clothed in purple and fine linen.
Fine linen, according to the out of the Strong's Bible. Strong's just said this. It said that it's made from an Egyptian bias that is a flax that grew only on the banks of the Nile River, and it cost twice as much as gold. Now, that's according to the Holman Bible Dictionary, and then when I looked up in the Strong's, and they give me the definitions there in Strong's of the words. So I looked up those words in the dictionary, and this is what they said. So the fine linen cost twice as much as gold, and the purple took 1,816,000 shellfish shellfish. I'm sorry, not grams, but shellfish to make the garment. Now, when you could dress like that, you was as wealthy as Pastor Smith if you could dress like that. Now, read.
And fared sumptuously.
And did what?
Every day. Fared sumptuously.
Fared. The word fared translates. I got it. Some of this stuff I didn't know what it meant, so I looked it up in the Greek, okay? And so I grew up in the backlands, and I don't have a real good education. I graduated from high school. Yes, I did. But English and all that stuff was not one of my best subjects, all right? And so I can tell you some of this stuff, and not because I know it, but simply because of the fact that I looked it up because I didn't know what it meant. But the word fared translates from a Greek word here, and it said rejoiced. All right? And it said also what now?
They fared sumptuously.
Sumptuously. And I thought, what is sumptuously? That sounds like something you eat. But sumptuously said, it said magnificently. He rejoiced magnificently every day. He was so wealthy that he rejoiced magnificently every day. I thought, oh my, this man has got it on the ball. He's got to be. Read.
And there was a certain beggar.
And there was a certain beggar.
Named Lazarus.
Wait a minute. Back up there and read the line you skipped.
There was a certain beggar.
Man. No, the one before that.
And there was a certain beggar.
No, the line before that.
And there was a certain beggar.
The line before that.
And fared sumptuously. Every day.
No, the one that's got the guy's name in it.
There was a certain beggar named Lazarus.
Oh, the one that's got the rich man's name in it.
It's not there.
It's what?
Not there.
It's not there?
Not there.
Are you reading in the King James?
Yes, sir.
Do you mean to tell me he had all of that? Oh, wow. He had all of that, and his name is not worthy to be mentioned in the Bible.
That's right.
I said, oh, my. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something, honey. It is not important what you have. It is not important, amen, what you carry or what you drive. It's not important where you live or what kind of house you live in. But what is important, amen, is where is your name written?
That's good.
You know, I learned a long time ago about what's important about what you write. You know, I had a teacher. I may have told this story in your church. I'm not sure. But I had a teacher. Her name was Miss Kaiser. Miss Kaiser was 107 years old when she was teaching us in school. She had to be at least that. Miss Kaiser had eyeballs in the back of her head as well as the front. And now you got to know, I am very, very, very happily married. Okay? Our next anniversary will be 50 years. All right? And so what I'm getting ready to tell you is no reflection on my wife. All right? But when I was in the first grade of high school, or first grade of school, 7 years old, 6 years old, whatever it was, me and a girl got paddled for holding hands in school. We went all through school, boyfriend and girlfriend. All through school. Up until about the sophomore junior year of high school, we decided that we would start dating some others, you know. And she ended up marrying a fantastic man named Daryl, and I ended up marrying a fantastic young lady named Lois, and both are still married to the same first ones we married 50 years later, all right? But through school, she was my baby, all right? But Miss Kaiser, when we was in the, I think she was, Miss Kaiser was a fifth grade teacher. She would be writing on the blackboard, and I would slip a note to Sharon. Her name was Sharon. Or Sharon would slip a note to me when we were supposed to be doing English. And Miss Kaiser would say, now she's writing on the board, Brother Smith, and she'd be writing on the blackboard with her back to me. And she would say, Donnie, pass it up here. Pass what up there? You know, I'd already stuck it in my pocket. I said, pass what up here? She said, you know what I mean, what? Pass that note up here. So I'd pull it out, or Sharon would pull it out, whichever one she'd be talking to. The one that embarrassed me the most probably is when she said, Sharon, send me the note. Sharon, she reluctantly got the note up there. Miss Kaiser opened it up. Ooh, doggy, was it juicy. It was so much, I thought, did I write that? And then I got to thinking about this, Brother Smith. I want to tell you something. When we stand before God, and God begins to read the note of our life, when the book is open, I read about in Revelation, when the book is open, and the things that are written there is going to be presented to you, you're going to be standing saying, did I write that? Mm-hmm. And God is going to be saying, that is the story of your life. Hey, I'm here to tell you something today, friend. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are, but what is important is what are you writing in your life. Amen. What are you writing? Where is your name written? Amen. Where's it at today? Right. Amen. But I'm here to tell you right now, this rich man had everything, but his name is not even mentioned in the Bible. But now read on.
There was a certain beggar named Lazarus.
And there was a certain beggar. A beggar. The word beggar translated from a Greek word, and it said this. Destitute of wealth, influence, position, and honor. Now, some time ago, I came across this word, beggar. This was several years ago, in fact. And I done like Brother Christian. I got a hold of Danny, and I asked Danny to tell me what it said. I'm talking about Danny Webster. Me and Danny Webster are on a first name basis, you know, because I have to talk to him so much. And Danny said that the word that was in the Greek there, that it simply meant destitute of wealth, influence, position, and honor. And so I asked Danny, what does destitute mean? Destitute simply means be without. And then it gave it, in fact, I was real busy at the time, and I asked my wife to get the dictionary out, and it was kind of like a day like yesterday and this morning and this afternoon. So I had my wife doing some of the work for me, and I said, honey, look up and see what Danny's got to say about destitute. And so she looked and she read it to me. It means without and the lack of. And then she started laughing. Can you imagine this? I said, what are you laughing about? And she said, for what they've got for an example here in the dictionary for destitute. And I said, well, what could be funny about being without? You know that you got to laugh about it.
Yeah.
She said, and I quote, the bald head is destitute of hair. And I ain't got a hair on my head hardly. And so I said, you know, you didn't have to say that. But let me tell you something. The Bible said that this beggar was destitute. He didn't have nothing. Amen. But what? His name is Lazarus. His name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm telling you right now, friend, it is important where your name is written. It doesn't do it any good to be on the billboards. It doesn't do it any good, amen, to be on the signs along the highway. But it does do it in good, amen, to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what about you. I don't know about your name, amen, or where you're from or anything about it. But I do know this. You better be concerned about where your name is written.
Right.
Or where it is not written.
That's right.
His name is what now?
Lazarus.
The word Lazarus translated from a Greek word, and it said, God is my helper.
That's good.
Hey, I want to tell you what. When God is our helper, we got it made, baby. When God is our helper, it don't matter what you go through. Amen. We got a hand we can hold on to. It don't matter who you are. Amen. If God's your helper, you got it made because God is there. And God will hold on every day of your life. He's not going to forsake you just because time get rough. He's not going to forsake you because you're going through a hard time. He's your helper. And honey, He'll be your helper till the day you die if you will rely and trust in Him.
That's right.
And if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God is my helper. Read.
Which was laid at the gate full of sores.
He was laid at the gate full of sores. Read.
And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which
and
fell.
And desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people. Now listen to me close, Winnemac. There's a lot of people in Winnemac that desire to be fed from the crumbs that fall from your spiritual table. You may not think you have the best. You may not think you're the spiritually the best. You may sometimes think that you're as low as they can go and still be a part of the church. But I'm telling you right now that the worst of the church is still the best of the world.
That's right.
The worst of the church is better than anything the world's got to offer.
That's right.
So if you've got anything at all, I'm telling you right now, there is people that is longing for what you've got. There's people that is begging, amen, for the spiritual crumbs, amen, that you take for granted. There's people that desire to have what you've got because they need it and they're hungry. One woman one time went to Jesus. Said, "Master, I want you to do something about my daughter. Very vexed with the demon, with the devil." Jesus said to her, said, "Hey, it's not right to take away from the children and give to the dogs." And she looked at Jesus and she said, "Right, Master, you're correct. But even the dogs like to lick up the crumbs that falls from the master's table."
Right.
You know, anything is better than what I got, is what she was saying. Right now, my name is not written in the book, but anything is better than what I got.
Right.
Anything. And until your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, honey, there is more for you. I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you came from. I don't know what you've done in your life, but I do know one thing. Amen. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God has got more for you. Amen.
Right.
God wants to put your name there. It's His desire. He said, yes, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. Amen. And all should have everlasting life. He wants you, amen, to be filled with the wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. He wants you to be baptized in Jesus' lovely name. He wants you to be repentant of your sins and turned away from the wickedness of the world. It's His desire that you be saved.
That's good.
It's His desire that you be saved. He didn't have anything. He didn't have anything. He was poor in the eyes of the world, but he was rich and beautiful in the eyes of God. Just opposite of the rich man.
Right.
He was beautiful in the eyes of the world, but the Bible calls him a fool. In the eyes of God, he was a fool. Read.
The dogs came. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, church. There's a hurting world around you right now. In Winnemac, even. There is a hurting city. They're hurting. There's people that's hurting. And if you are not willing to attend their sores, the devil will send the dogs along to lick them. Pardon my expression. I don't mean that literally a dog. What I'm talking about is the devil will make sure. You know, the dogs lick the sores. They're comforting. My wife has a real problem with dry skin, and especially when she mows. My wife spends a lot of time on a mower, and someday I'm going to get out from under the shade tree, drink an iced tea, and get on a mower and help her. But she's responsible for mowing about probably a good 50 acres, something like that, with a zero radius turn. Between what we have at the campgrounds and what we have in our home place. And so she probably mows 45 to 50 acres. So she has a lot of problem with dry skin on her around her ankles and her shin bone or whatever you call them things down there. And so she will scratch and all that. And one time I looked and we had a little dog. And that's what happened to the dog. Just dawned on me. We had a little dog, and every time I look over, and that dog would be licking on those sores on her feet. And now that poor dog's dead. It just dawned on me. Didn't think about it. But I asked her one time, I said, "Honey, I hate for dog lick on me." I said, "Honey, why are you letting that dog lick on your feet? And she said, "It feels good on that sore." And so, you know, I'm working this into it, okay? The devil will make sure to send something along to make you feel good.
That's true.
The devil will send, there's a city that's hurting around you. And if the church don't attend to the soreness or the hurt, the devil will be sure to send something along that will.
That's right.
That's his job. That's his job. Read.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
That the beggar died.
That the beggar died.
And was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom.
Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. He was carried by who?
By the angels.
I would have thought, yeah, hey, you know what? He was a beggar, man. He didn't have nobody. He didn't have nothing. Amen. He would die. They would probably just open up a hole and drop him in the ground. And they sure enough going to have to find somebody to be a pallbearer. Because he didn't have nobody, no friends, no nothing that talks about. But the angels were his pallbearer. He lived such a godly life. He didn't have nothing. He was a beggar. But the angels was his pallbearers. That's what he had. Can you imagine? They always said if you had six good friends to be pallbearers, you was wealthy. You know? But can you imagine what you had if you had angels to be your pallbearers? And that's who he had. You know why? Because his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It all depends on where your name is written. It depends on what you're writing with your life. Read on. I'm hurrying.
And the rich man died, also died.
And the rich man died.
And was
buried. And was carried away by golden chariots, angels galore, and...
And was buried.
What does it say about who his pallbearers were?
He died and was buried.
Just that simple. He had all of that. But the Bible said he died and was buried. That simple. That simple. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Open a door or open a hole and drop him in the ground. And he had been dressed in purple all his life. I'm telling you, friend, it all does depend where you wrote your name. Read on. I'm hurrying. I'm hurrying.
And in hell he lifted up his eyes.
In hell he lifted up his eyes.
Being in torments.
Being in torment.
And seeth Abraham afar off.
And seeth Abraham afar off.
And Lazarus in his bosom.
And Lazarus in his bosom. Read.
And he cried and said, Father Abraham.
Father Abraham.
Have mercy on
me. Have mercy on me.
And send Lazarus.
And send Lazarus.
That he may dip.
That he may dip.
The tip of his
fingers in the water.
And cool my tongue.
And cool my tongue. The first thing in his whole life that rich man ever wanted that he couldn't have. That's right. Because his name was not written in the book. The first thing he ever wanted was just a simple touch of water on the tip of his tongue. But he couldn't have it. Read.
For I am tormented in this flame.
I am tormented in this place. Read.
But Abraham said, Son, remember that
now
thou...
Now notice this. This is one of the last points I really want to drive home. He said what?
Remember thou.
Son, remember thou...
In thy lifetime. Receivest thy good things.
You receive... He was told... His name is not written in the book. So he is told to remember his lifetime. In other words, that is all of the joy that he's going to get. The whole time he was in hell, he could only remember that he was able to dress in purple and fine linen. He could remember the good things in his life. But that's all he's got to look forward to. I want you to notice something else. Read.
And likewise Lazarus,
Uh-huh.
Even evil things.
Uh-huh.
But now he is comforted.
But now Lazarus, he was told, he said, now the rich man was told, you remember the good things in your life because you had all that good stuff. But the rich man was told Lazarus didn't have none of that. But you do not find any place in the book where Lazarus was told to remember his lifetime. Because Lazarus' name was written in the book. Lazarus' name was written in the book. He didn't have to remember all the evil and the hurt and the pain and the torment that he went through. I doubt if Lazarus ever remembered a dog that licked on the sores of his body. He wasn't told to remember all that. Because now he's in the joy of the Lord. That's because good. His name is written in the book.
That's good.
But the rich man that had all that stuff all of his life, all he had now was the good things to remember in his lifetime. Because now he's in torment asking for something to be touched. Just the tip of a finger to be touched and dipped in water and touched his tongue. My. I thought, my Lord, it's important where we are writing our name. Where is your name? Revelation said it like that. He said the only thing important is where you wrote in the book of life. Is your name there? Is your name there? Read on, brother.
Now he is comforted and now art tormented.
Oh, my. Paul in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, the 13th verse, Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When you've got the prize set before you, I mentioned this morning at Walkerton Church, when you got the prize before you, you have a tendency to forget the agony that you went through to get there. Rich man, you can remember all you want, the good things, because that's all you've got to look forward to. Church, people, if your name is not written, go on down, brother, in the 26th verse is what you're ready for.
And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed.
There's a great gulf that is fixed.
So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot.
Cannot.
Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence.
You know what that great gulf is? Can I tell you today what that great gulf is? That great gulf is repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just being good old boys don't do it anymore. Just being good old boys won't get you on the other side of the gulf.
That's right.
It won't get you there. What'll get you there is repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what the gulf is. And if you do that before you lay down to die, your name is in the book. You got it made in the shade, honey, because that's what Jesus died for. Jesus gave his life that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He gave his life that your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life with the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood that your name could be written. That's up to you. As we stand today, as every eye is closed, everyone is thinking and dependent and leaning on what God has said. God said that the gulf between you and eternity is what's going to matter. It's what's going to matter on which side of the gulf you are, on which side of the river of life. Where's your name written? Is it written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or is it written in the things that you might have, in the rich things, in the purple and the fine linen? Are you going to be told to remember the good things that you had in this life, or are you going to forget all about the torment that you went through? Because now you're on the other side with Jesus Christ and Him crucified.